Good to see everyone out this evening. Always encouraging to come together to study as we have the opportunity to come out to worship God. Always blessed and encouraging to be here with the brethren in Christ who also share in the fellowship with our God. We choose to obey the word of God, be baptized, to wash away our sins so that we can have the forgiveness of sins. Of course, there are those who yet to obey. There are those who choose not or choose to go back into the world and they choose to sin or they've given in to temptation. And so what I want to talk about this evening is on that point of when we sin and just bring out a few points throughout the Word of God on some of the things that we might not notice that we are truly choosing to do when we choose to sin, when we give in to the temptations that we face from day to day. Start off with this evening, I want to start off with pointing out the simple, I hope we understand, that we choose to disobey God when we give in to sin. I think it's clear due to that when we open up the Word of God, we see that we are to put Him first in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 33, Matthew 6, and in verse 33, it tells us there to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it tells us to seek first His righteousness, His commandments, that we are to put God first in our lives and in our choices, and looking to make sure we go down the right path, that we put God first in these decisions. In Colossians 3, verse 17, they're telling us in whatever you do in word or deed, to do all in the name of the Lord. We do all in His name, to put Him first in our lives. And the only way to do this is to open up our Bibles, to know right from wrong, to know what it tells us to do. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, where it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. And so here it's telling us that all Scripture has everything we need in it in order to be complete, in order to be a man of God, in order to know what to do. We could go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 where it tells us to be diligent to prove ourselves unto God, a workman of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we disobey, the words that we have in the Bible, that means we are choosing to disobey what God has told us to do. As we study the Old Testament, we look when God sent prophets to Israel and God warned them of the things to come, and we see Him bring out plain and clear, because you choose to disobey me, because you choose to neglect to listen to me, and you choose to go forth and worship other gods. And all these things, and their sins and trespasses, that means they are simply choosing not to follow our God. And choosing not to follow our God, it says something about our love for God. You see, so many get caught up. And I hear all the time that so many people say, well, I love Jesus, and I love God, and yet they choose to continue in the sin. They don't choose to follow the commands that we see in the Bible. And if we choose to sin, we choose to disobey the commands that He has given us, that says something about our love for God. If you turn along with me to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Mark 12 and in verse 30, here showing us and telling us what the greatest commandment is. And it says here, it tells us, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That we love Him with everything we have. With all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. And so therefore, if we choose to love Him partially, and we choose to love the other things of this world, as 1 John 2 and verse 15 talks about, the love of God does not abide with the things of this world, with the love of this world. 1 John 2
And in verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye. It says, if these things abide in us, the love of God does not abide in you. Therefore, if we put these things above God, and we're not putting Him first, then can we truly say that we love God? Can we truly sit here and say, I'm truly loving my Lord and Savior Jesus for coming down and sacrificing Himself so that my sins could be washed away? Or do we simply push that aside? In John chapter 14 and verse 15, John chapter 14 and verse 15. Here it tells us, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't know how you get around this verse here when it comes to choosing sin, choosing to disobey the word of God, seeing book, chapter, and verse saying that you shall not do this, that you need to do these other things, and then they say, I love God, but I'm not going to do that. And yet Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is how we show our love, our thankfulness, is by obeying our Lord. And yet so many get caught up in wanting to claim they love God, they love Jesus, and yet they do not keep His commandments. They do not follow what the Lord has told them to do. And so therefore, if you're not following the Word of God, you're not following the Lord, you're choosing to be against God. You're choosing to be on the opposite side of the Lord. I mean, you think about it. You think about what David had said when he approached Goliath, when he was asking about why no one was doing these things. He says, here is a man who defies the armies of God. He understood that if he's not with God, he's against God. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, that's what we see here. In James chapter 4 and in verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It says, you choose the sexual and moral life, you choose to be the enemy of God. You choose to go into sin. You choose to be against our God. That's what you choose if you choose to go down that path. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, here it makes it clear that we can't serve two masters. Otherwise, you'll end up loving one and hating the other, despising one, and willing to follow the other. And that's what happens when you try to balance God and the world. When you're trying to balance, well, I love these things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, but I'm so thankful that someone is willing to give themselves for me. And so you try to walk that line. Eventually, you make the decision that one's better than the other. It says you can't have it both ways. You have to choose a side. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He's saying, you choose whom you will serve. If you choose sin, you choose drunkenness, you choose drugs, you choose sexual immorality, you choose lying, then you are a slave to that sin. But if you choose righteousness, you choose truth, you choose kindness, you choose God, then you choose to serve your God. But you can't have it both ways. Understand, when we give in to sin, you're making a choice. You're choosing right or you're choosing wrong. You make that choice yourself. We understand that when we sin, we're making a lot of these decisions. We're choosing what we love. We're choosing what we want to do, where we want to go. You set a bad example for others if you choose to go against God, when you fall down into the path of these temptations. We set a bad example to others. We need to be watching what we're doing because others are watching you, watching the example that you set. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, where it tells us that you are the salt of the world. But if its salt loses its flavor, what good is it but to be tossed over the shoulder and trampled underneath the feet? What good is it? And that's what God is saying. What good are you doing as a Christian if you are not flavoring the world with His righteousness, with His holiness, with His kindness that you're supposed to be applying to your lives? It says you are the light of the world. One does not light a lamp and then put it under a basket. It does it no good. Why would you turn the light on and then cover it up? But we are lit by Christ so that we can shine into the world. So therefore, we're supposed to let our light shine through our works. And when they see our works, they will glorify God. But understand, if you choose to go down into sin, and you choose the path of this world, and others see that you go down that path, if anyone looks up to you, if anyone sees you doing this, and they say, well, he's doing it, he claims to be, you know, he's a pretty good person, and he goes to church, I think I can do it too. Therefore, you've led them down the wrong path. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. So it reads here, it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Here Timothy was young. Timothy is trying to teach. Timothy was even instructed to go forth and help and teach on the qualifications as we read through chapter 3 of elders. And yet here Paul still says to him, be an example. Don't let them despise your youth. When you read this to them, just make sure that you're doing your part. You're walking the straight and narrow path, that you follow faithfully. We are to be setting examples for one another. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 3. As it reads about the elders here and telling them what they should be doing, it says, nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. Once again, and most of the qualifications as we've been studying in the all class, and when we get to a certain part of it, it asks us why. Why is this qualification here? Why would an elder need this? He needs it in the work, but also because if he's doing these things, he's setting the example. He's showing the flock where to go as a shepherd leads the flock of sheep. He shows them where to go, shows them how to act. If we give in to sin, where are we leading up? We're leading them away from the chief cornerstone. We're leading them away from Christ, that we are not keeping the commandments of God. That's a choice that you make if you choose to go down that path. And in Matthew chapter 18, turn along with me here, and in verse 6, Matthew 18 and in verse 6, it says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. We're trying to lead people astray by pushing them away, by teaching them false, and of course by setting a bad example. And listen to what the Lord says here. He says, if you lead one of these young little ones away from me, when you have the opportunity to help mold their minds as they are growing, to help lead them to the right path, and don't push them away, lead them in the right path. Because if you cause them, it says you're better off. you're better off drowning. We need to watch what we're doing, making sure that we're setting the good example, following the path that Christ has set for us. When we sin, we're the reason that Jesus had to die. We're the reason that he had to come down here and to go through that suffer and persecution. In Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, if you will. Romans 5, starting in verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Before we became holy, before we became pure, before we were forgiven, Christ had to die for you in order for that to happen. Verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Here it brings out that we are saved through his blood. It's the only way that our sins are forgiven. Is that he was willing to be sacrificed for us. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4. It says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." You have sin in your life. That's why Christ died. It's because we're too weak. We have the hymn in our hymn books. And it, you know, it makes the point that no, we weren't there. We weren't the ones that called for Barabbas to be betrayed for Jesus. We weren't the ones that shouted, "Crucify him." But when we give in to temptation, do you ever feel like you truly are the one? Because that's why he did it. So that you can be forgiven. So that your sins could be washed away. So that you could have a second chance. We set ourselves up for eternal destruction when we continue in a path of sin. We set ourselves up to fall down into an eternal life of sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, reading starting in verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people." It brings out, it says, what do you think will happen to one who knows, who's read, who understands who Jesus is and what he has done for you, and yet just considers it a common thing and throws it over his shoulder and just keeps on going? You set yourself up for the wrath of God. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5. Romans 2 and in verse 5. Here it reads, it says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." according to your decision, according to what you decide to do, is what you will be judged by. And so now you need to make the decision of what path you're going to choose. You're going to choose that narrow and difficult path that leads to life, that leads to joy. Or are you going to choose the broad and easy path that leads to destruction? The choice is yours. We extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who needs to come forward, to be baptized, to have their sins washed away, willing to become servants of God instead of continuing to be a slave of sin. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.
Sing the song.